awesome. I'm very excited to be here. If y'all don't know me, my name is Frances De La O, and I'm the girls' minister here at Champion Forest. And like I said, I'm very excited to be here. Before we get started, I want to give y'all a little background information on me. So my parents are from El Salvador. Ooh. Oh, look at that. Me and my brothers were born and raised here in Houston, Texas. So I have two older brothers, and I'm the youngest, and I'm the only girl, so I guess you could say I was spoiled. Nah, I really wasn't. Well, I like to say I wasn't. So growing up, I had two older brothers, and so I always wanted to be like them. I wanted to do everything they did. If they were out playing in the mud, guess what? I was out there playing in the mud. I always wanted to do everything they did. And so me and my brothers are very close in age. So when my middle brother started going into pre-K, guess what? I wanted to go into pre-K, and so, but it wasn't my time yet. But like I cried and I whined and I got my way. And so I ended up going to pre-K with my brother, but I was like three and a half years old. I wasn't supposed to go to pre-K, but I did anyway. And so, I woke up every single morning at, 6, 7 o'clock, put on my uniform, my white polo with my khaki pants and my khaki skirt. And I put on my black shoes and my white socks. I was going to pre-K, and I was so excited because I got to be with my older brother. I sat during circle time. I sang the songs. I learned 5 colors. I learned how to count to 10. I was so excited because I got to do everything that pre-Kers do, right? That's me right there. I wasn't so happy about that dress. I don't know what my mom was thinking. But look, we're matching, if you can see her in the back. And so I wanted to do that. So I was very fond of my brothers. And so, like I was saying, I was so excited because I was going into pre-K with my older brother, and I was doing all the things that he did. But when we got home, my brother would do homework, and I didn't. Why? Because I wasn't really enrolled in pre-K. I just wanted to do the stuff he did. So I was, playing with my Barbies and playing with tea parties and all that stuff while my brother was doing homework. And I always made fun of him because I was like, ha ha, you get to do homework and I don't have to do it, blah, blah, blah. May comes around, and so everyone's getting their cap and gown because they get to graduate and go to kindergarten. And I'm in line and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna graduate and go to kindergarten. And so they're handing out all these cap and gowns, and the teacher looks around. She's like, what are you waiting for? And I was like, I'm getting my cap and gown, I'm going to kindergarten. And she's like, no, you have to go to pre-K again, like for real. And oh my gosh, I cried and bawled my eye. I threw it the biggest fit there, and my mom was so embarrassed because, that was me after I graduated kindergarten. But can you show them the picture before? There's a picture before. Yeah, that was me when I found out I wasn't graduating from pre-K. I was gonna stay in pre-K again. You see the saltiness on my face. And my brother's like, yeah, I got my cap and gown, what? And so my mom's just like, smile for the picture. So I was just so, so upset because I felt like I deceived myself. Because I thought, because I woke up every single morning and I, put on my uniform and I went to pre-K and I sat during circles time, I sang all the songs, I learned my 5 colors, I got to count to 10, and I did all of that stuff, and I was doing what pre-Kers did. But at the end of the year, I realized I wasn't gonna go into kindergarten. I had to do pre-K again because I didn't really live the pre-K life. And so I was just so deceived, and I felt like I believed my own lie. And see, the passage that we're gonna hear today, James talks about us. He's talking to us Christians, us brothers and sisters. And his concern is, are you being deceived in your own life with your genuine faith? So let me pray, and then we're gonna get started. Father, we just come to you today, Lord, and we thank you just for who you are and for what you've done. And Lord, we're just grateful just for the opportunity to be here, Lord, to learn about your word and to worship your songs, and to just be in your presence, Father. And so I pray tonight and right now that our hearts would be open, Father. And I pray that our ears would just be so in tune with your voice, Lord, that your word would just penetrate in our hearts, and that we would be obedient to whatever you have to say to us and whatever you're calling us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to James 1. We're continuing on our series of James. James 1, verse 19. So I'm going to read and then we're going to get started. So James 1, 19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So let's jump back up to verse 19. So James starts here by greeting us and saying, "My dear brothers and sisters." He's talking to me and you. He's talking to us. He's talking to the church. And so he goes on and says, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So if you can look at these three key things that he says, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why does he even do that? Why is James starting off and telling us that we need to be these three things? Okay, he says, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so how many of us in the room, when we're angry, what is the first thing we do? Cry, scream. Okay, we want to say, we throw something.
Watch out.
Watch out. So the first thing when we're angry, when I'm angry, the first thing I want to do is I just want to speak. Like I want to tell people how I feel and I want to be angry and I want to, you know, go cry to somebody and just say, oh, I'm so angry because this and this and this happened. And so James is telling us, hold on. Are you being quick to listen? Are you being slow to speak? And are you being slow to become angry? And so what James is saying right here is, are we even being, like, what is he saying, quick to listen? Like, are we being good listeners? How many of us have that friend that every time you meet up, all they do is talk about themselves? Yeah, we all have that friend. And they just talk and talk and talk, and I'm like, all right, can I talk about my stuff now? And they just keep talking and talking and talking. It's like, okay, but you're being a good listener if you have that friend. But everybody wants that friend that's gonna listen to them, right? And so that's what James is saying right here, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so he goes on in verse 20, read with me, he says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So again, why is James telling us this? He says it in verse 20, because human anger, he's saying that that all of that anger is human anger and it does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Verse 21, look what James calls human anger. He calls it moral filth and evil. So he says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So you see, James is painting a picture right now, and this is how I imagine it. He's saying, like, all that stuff that makes you angry, all that stuff that works you up, that makes you want to curse at somebody or makes you just want to be mad at them or just throw things at them, like one of y'all said. He's saying all of that, like, get rid of that. Like, that is moral filth, and that does not produce the righteousness of God. So James is painting this picture right now. He's saying, take it off. He literally says it here. Take off, get rid of that. And so right now he's just saying, like, it's a piece of clothing. Like, you know, okay, let me just paint a picture right now. So when I was out playing in the yard with mud with my brothers, because I wanted to do everything they did, before I came back into the house, my mom would always say, you need to take off that dirty clothes, rinse off before you come into my clean house. You see, James is painting a picture, and this is how the Lord wants us to act. He wants us to take off those dirty clothes before we step in into his presence. And so then he says, get rid of that moral filth and the evil. Get rid of what is making you angry right now. Is it your friends talking about you? Is it that boy that's not wanting to talk to you? Is it that girl that rejects all your calls and hits you with that red no reply? What is making you angry? And so see, James is telling us, get rid of that and humble yourself and accept the word planted in you which can save you. This is what I love about this passage, is because James is telling us right now, take it off, take all that off. You don't need that. You need to be clothed with righteousness and all this stuff, but he does not stop there. And so many of us only like to read that passage because we're like, okay, he's just telling us to take it off, boom, we're good. I can go do my things. But James continues in verses 22. So he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And so I love this verse just because he says, and so deceive, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. I mean, just like when I deceived myself that I was gonna go into kindergarten, but I really wasn't because I didn't finish my pre-K. Because I wasn't living out the pre-K life. I wasn't, you know, doing homework and doing all that stuff. And so James right here, he's saying like, you could literally just be sitting here right now at midweek. You could come to Element. Boys, you can come to Waffles and Wisdom. Girls, you can come to Mugs and Mornings. You can come to life groups every single Sunday. You can do all the church activities. You can come to all the church events. But if you do not practice all of that you've learned and applied it into your life, then you're just deceiving yourself. See, James right here, he's saying, do not merely just listen to the word. Don't just sit here and nod to everything that the speaker is saying. Okay, whenever Ryan or Stephen or Timmy or Alec, when they preach and they say something good, you're like, You can as much as you want to. But if you don't apply that to your life, then you're just deceiving yourself. And so if you just come here every single Sunday for Element, if you come here for midweek, if you come to life, if you come to all these events, if you come on Sunday mornings and you're here in worship, like when LA leads it, and you're singing God, like you are great, how great is our God, all this stuff, you make that face and you just want to do Holy Spirit, we are welcome in this place. You do all of that, but if you don't apply that to your life, what James is saying right here, if you just listen to the word and you don't do it, you're just deceiving yourself. And so he goes on and says, verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So he paints this picture for us about a man that just, okay, so when you look in a mirror, and girls, like if your hair is messed up, you want to fix it, right? Oh, guys, if your hair is messed up, your flow is messed up, what do you want to do? You want to fix it, right? Okay, if you, like, we're very blessed to have mirrors all over the world and all over wherever we go. And so what is the very first thing we do when we look at ourselves in the mirror? You this is a mirror right here, and you make sure your hair is okay. If there's makeup, if there's a makeup cluster, you just like wipe it off. Guys, I hope y'all don't have makeup clusters. But if you're like, you need to roll up your pants, I don't know what you guys do. But whatever y'all do, you want to fix it, right? Am I right? Yeah? When you look at yourself in the mirror, if you see something that's wrong, you want to fix it. And so James right here, he's saying, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at the mirror and just goes away. So imagine this man that goes into, just imagine this person that you're in the restroom with somebody. Girls, I know you like to go in groups. So you're just in the restroom with somebody and someone sees like a big old piece of broccoli right in their teeth. And they look at their teeth like that and they see it and they don't do anything about it. And then they just go away. You said what, right? Like, who does that? Who looks in the mirror and sees that something is wrong and just goes away and doesn't fix it? Huh? You most of the time? So, but most of y'all are just like, well, aren't you gonna fix that? You see, that's mind-blowing to you. And so James says, when the people that just listen to the word and don't merely apply it to their lives, they're not doing it, you are just like that person, that man that just looks into the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And so how is your life looking? This is my question for you tonight. How does your life look? Do you just come and sit at midweek or Element or come to Waffles and Wisdoms and Mugs and Mornings or Life Rips or whatever it is? And you, when you step out of this building, when you go into the parking lot, do you forget everything that has been applied to your life? Do you just sit here and put on your church coat or whatever and worship the Lord and raise your hands and to everything that the preacher said was good and nod your head to everything? And then you go out, and girls, you say, oh, did you see the way she looked at me? Boys, you say, did you see the way he looked at me? I don't know. Y'all don't say that, right? Okay, good. I hope not. How does your life look like? Are you just listening to the word? Are you actually receiving it? And then you're going out into the parking lot, you're going back to your school, to your workplace, and all that stuff, and people are actually surprised that you're even a Christian? Do people act surprised when you tell them, yeah, I gotta go to church? What does your life look like? What does your everyday life look like from the minute you step out of this building and go out into the world? Are you being a doer of the word? Or are you simply just being a hearer? Let's move on. Verse 25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So James is saying right here that it doesn't stop there, okay? He's talking to two kinds of people today, okay? He's talking to the people that are hearers and just hearers, and he's talking to the people that are hearers and that are doers. And so right here in this verse, he is saying, whoever looks intently to the perfect law that gives freedom. Perfect law. What does that even mean? Perfect law. The gospel. And so he continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And so tonight, if you're saying, Francis, I don't know who you're preaching to because, you know, I'm a doer and I'm good to go. Okay. Well, let me ask you some questions. So that's you right there. Is your life reflecting your relationship with Jesus? Do people notice that? Do older, growing Christians see that in you? Do you even dare ask them if it's right, or are you scared of what they're gonna say to you because you know you're in the wrong? And so, just going back to all of this, is my question for you tonight is, what are you, that man in the mirror that's just looking into the mirror and you see that piece of broccoli right here and you just go away and you don't want to fix it because you like the life you live, because you think a Christian life is too hard? What are you doing with your life? Are you just putting up a fit? Who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for your parents? Are you doing it here for the staff? Are you doing it for your life group leaders? Like, what and what mindset do you start acting out in this righteousness? Like, what makes you, what motivates you to be actually become a doer? I'm gonna name those things again. Is it your parents? Is it your life group leaders? Is it the staff? Is it your friends? What motivates you? Or is it actually the true meaning of the gospel? Do you actually comprehend that God had this radical love for you, that he sent down his son to die on the cross for you, to wash away your every sin, so that you could have eternal life for him? Does that motivate you to be a doer, not just a hearer? Some of you may ask, why do we want to be doers of the word? Why can't I just come here and act all churchy and then go live my life the way I want to? Because that's not what James said. Like James here in this passage, like his heart is aching here. He has such a burden for us. He starts off by saying, my brothers and sisters, that's me and you. Okay, his heart is so heavy because he says, you know what? Some of y'all may be deceived. Some of y'all may not even know that you're living a lie. You begin to just believe your own lie. And you think, just because I sit here and just because I'm a doulos, or just because I'm in a leadership program, or just because I serve, or just because I go to all the Bible studies, I'm a good Christian. But then Monday rolls around and your life bears bad fruit. Some of us are just deceiving ourselves. And I'll be honest, I was there. Y'all, who are my seniors in here? How old are y'all? 17, 18, I'm only about 3 years older than y'all. This is the reason why this breaks my heart too, is because I know what it feels like to be there, to come to church and to worship God, to lift my hands up and to sit down and nod my head to things and say to everything, but then walk out and not live a life worthy of the Lord. I know what it's like to be there, and that's why my heart is just aching, because you live a life that's deceiving. You start to begin to believe your own lie, and you get wrapped up and you get caught up in that. Is your life being fruitful? Does your life reflect the relationship that you have with Christ? Does the gospel, does the meaning of the gospel radically change you and motivate you to become a doer? Like James says here, he's just, do not merely listen to the word. You're only deceiving yourselves. You come here and you're taking notes, you're in your journal, you're just sitting down and saying, you're good on that. Yep, I'm gonna write that down because I'm gonna tell my friend that. And then you walk out of here. And you disrespect your mom. You walk out of here and you start talking bad about your friends. You walk out of here and you start engaging in gossip. What good is it to just sit here and listen to things and accept them, and then go out in your week or in your walk, your day, and not even apply anything to what you've learned here? That's what James is saying here. And so in verse 25, he says, whoever looks intently to the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And in verse 26 and 27, James just ties a circle here, okay? He goes back to the beginning. He just ties a knot, and he says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So James right here in verses 26, 27, he's just pointing out two ways that you can live out your life as doers, just inwardly and outwardly. He says, consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves. So he's saying right here is you can start being a doer by just keeping this shut, okay? Like we talked about last week, you know, the tongue is a very powerful thing. You can curse somebody, you can bless somebody. And so you can start being a doer by that. And he also shows in verse 27, how our faith and how we can actually be a doer by taking care and loving people, because that's our ultimate call, is to love on the people of Christ and love on our brothers and sisters. Love on our brothers and sisters. Do we get that? Do we get that we're actually called to love each other here? If you're nodding your head yes, then why do you go out and talk bad about them? Why do you go out and make rumors about them? If you really love that person, love your neighbors, love your brothers and sisters, then why are you cursing them and putting them down with your own tongue? That's what James is saying here. He's saying, don't deceive your own self. Don't be caught up in your own self-deception and lie to yourself, thinking that you just sit here and you listen to the word and you go out and you do nothing. You go out and you start bearing bad fruit. James has a heart for us, for brothers and sisters. He says, go and no longer be deceived. Do what the word says. Be doers, don't be hearers.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.